Happy Mother's Day. I know that this isn't the way most of us wanted to have Mother's Day, but this is what we have. And so we want to wish each of you mothers a happy Mother's Day. And we are looking forward to gathering together with you next week. Do you realize that? It's next week when we are going to have a flashbulb moment. We invite you to join us for worship at Faith next Sunday, May 17th, for our soft opening, our soft reopening, I should say. We're calling it a soft opening because it's going to be different than the last time you were in the building. It just is. There's going to be some changes that are going on. We're working on them right now. And one of the changes you're going to see right away is that our auditorium normally seats around 400 people, and we're only going to be able to get about 150 people into that room. And so we encourage you to come a little early because you'll be ushered into the worship center and seated in appropriate locations to keep social distancing a part of that particular service. Now we're also setting up the Faith Cafe for an overflow area, and it will have a video feed coming from the worship center into it. And so you'll be able to see what's going on, but it won't be the same as being in the worship center. So if you come late, you will probably be seated in the Faith Cafe, not because we want you to be, but because of that. And so we encourage you to be here a little early to allow us time to get everybody in. Now, we're also encouraging people to use the hygiene that we're talking about, you know, washing your hands and making sure that if you have a cold or you have a cough, or you have a fever, or you have trouble breathing, that you just stay home. Don't bring what you have to us. We understand that there will be some people like that, and so we ask that you would stay home. And if you are concerned about gathering, and you're just not sure that you want to endanger yourself because you have you're at risk person. We understand that also, and we encourage you to stay home. We also will film this service so that you can come, and we'll send it to you just the same way we're doing this one right here, so you can worship at home after the fact. Now, we won't be able to have that video up until the Monday after the service, so you're going to have to worship with it after our service. We are working on getting an online live stream going at the church, but that's still a little bit out away from the 17th. Now, we also know that we have many different kinds of people who come to our church and who have different viewpoints of this this coronavirus and its effect on our lives. And we have people who really believe that we need to be totally gloved up and masked up, and we have people over here who believe that that nothing's going to happen to them, and this is just a real light flu that's going through the area, and we need to allow our immune system to help us with it. And so we have both sides of this issue going on, and I'm going to ask you to be patient with one another. I would like you to think about this particular verse when you come on Sunday. It says, "For you have been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters." So don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love. Because we have different viewpoints and different opinions about this, let's do this in love, not in judgment. And so if you come in and you find out someone wants to hug and you don't want to hug, just say, you know, I'd rather we wouldn't do that. And if they come into your space, just politely say to them, you know, I'd like to have 6 foot between us. I love seeing you, but I really want to respect the 6 foot. And so we just need to know that there are going to be all different kinds of stuff. And that's why this is a soft opening, because we don't know how that's going to go. We are disinfecting the entire building, and we have been at that for quite some time. And so we're ready for you when you get here. We encourage you to come in the main entrance doors to the church, to the church building. And at that point, you'll start to see the differences that are taking place. But we are looking forward to gathering together with you. You know, we're talking today about protection, my protection. And we live in an uncertain time, and we know that. And we need to know about how we are protected. So we're going to talk about how God does protect us and what he is to us. And the one thing we can know is this, that God is our ultimate protector. He is the one who is over all things. We think God is sovereign. We believe God is sovereign, that he has all these things in control. And we don't understand those things, and we need to remember that his plans are higher than our plans, and his ways are different than our ways. But we will trust him with those things, and we will trust him to be our ultimate protector. It says in the book of Psalms, Psalm 18, 1 through 3, I love you, Lord, you are my strength. That can be our statement to God. I love you, Lord, and you are my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, my savior. My God is my rock in whom I have protection. He is my shield and the power that saves me and the place of safety. I called on the Lord who is worthy of praise, and he saved me from all my enemies. This is David's statement about how he thought he saw God. And so when I look at that, I think of all those things in there that talk about the solidness of who God is. He's a rock. He's a fortress. He's a shield. He's a protector. And it says he rescues me from my enemies. David found that to be true, and we also can know that God is true in that fact. He is our ultimate protector. He is the one that either allows us or he doesn't allow us to walk through different things for whatever reason, for whatever his plan is. Now, there are different kinds of protections, and as we've already seen, or haven't seen, God is our physical protector. Now, I want to talk with you about Daniel in this particular case, because Daniel was a man of God, and he served in two kingdoms and under three kings. He was so wise, and God had given him that wisdom. But in the last kingdom he served in, there were some other court officials who were jealous of Daniel, and they chose to trick the king into signing a decree that says no one can pray to any other god or any other king besides this king that was in this kingdom. And so he signed it for 30 days. And because Daniel prayed every day, three times a day, Daniel continued to pray, and he was caught praying. So he was accused, he was judged, and then he was sentenced to the lion's den. And you remember that. But we also remember that when he was placed in the lion's den, God sent an angel, and he protected him. He closed the mouths of the lions so that they wouldn't hurt Daniel. So God can be our physical protector. Now, that's an Old Testament story, but we also have a New Testament story that is of the Apostle Paul. In this particular one, we know that Paul was in many different situations where he had he needed protection. And in 2 Corinthians, the first chapter, he says, we were crushed and overwhelmed beyond our ability to endure, and we thought that we would never live through it. In fact, we expected to die. Now, that's pretty significant physical oppression or problems. But as a result, we stopped relying on our own selves and learned to rely upon God, who raised the dead. And he did rescue us from mortal danger, and he will rescue us again. The Apostle Paul says that God is able to protect us physically from that. Notice what it says there, that he says, we stop relying on ourselves and learn to rely upon God. There is a point in our lives where we need to stop relying on what we think is going to protect us, and we need to rely solely upon God. I'm not saying we're there yet, but we need to remember that it's not always what we put on or how we protect ourselves that gives us protection. Now, that doesn't mean that we shouldn't take care of ourselves, because to think that I can fly and I can jump off a roof and fly, that's kind of crazy, okay? So there are times when we need to protect ourselves. So if someone had the flu, we're not necessarily going to go into their house and stand beside their bed and breathe the fumes that they have in their coming out of their mouth. And so we would say that we need to keep protection. So we need to use common sense. But at the same time, we need to understand that God is the one who protects us physically. Now, we also know that God is our spiritual protector. So there is a physical protection God gives, but there's also a spiritual protection that God gives. And this spiritual protection we can see in Ephesians, the sixth chapter. So we know that we fight an unseen battle. It says, for we are not fighting against flesh and blood. We're not fighting against this flesh that we have in our enemies. We fight against evil rulers and authorities and unseen worlds. Notice it's unseen worlds and unseen powers, against mighty powers in this dark world, against the evil spirits in the heavenly places. God's telling us that we fight against that which is unseen. And so we need protection from that unseen world. And God is the one who places that protection to us. It says in 2 Thessalonians, but the Lord is faithful. He will strengthen you and guard you from the evil one. God is in the business of protecting us from the evil one. He wants to protect us. He also wants to protect us from temptation. It says, and God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted more than you can stand. And when you are tempted, he will show you a way out so that you can endure it. God is there when we are tempted, and we just need to look for his path out of the temptation. If we choose the temptation, that's our choice. But if we choose his way out, he will protect us from that temptation. So how is it that God does this protection of us, both physically and spiritually? Well, I want to take you to Jesus' prayer in John 17, because God is protecting us through the prayer of Jesus. You say, well, how does that happen? Well, this is the prayer that Jesus prayed on the night that he was betrayed, and he actually went to the cross this night. And it says in John 17, now I am departing from this world, Father. Jesus is praying to his Father, and they are staying in this world, referring to his disciples. And I'm coming to you. Holy Father, you have given me their names, and now protect them by the power of your name so that they will be united just as we are. I'm not asking that you take them out of the world, but you keep them safe from the evil one. Again, safe from the evil one, from Satan, his demons, and that unseen power that's around us. You say, well, that was given to the disciples. And yet, if you go farther in this passage, it says, I'm not only praying for my disciples, but I'm also praying for those who will come after them as a result of their witness. We are those people who have come after them as a result of their witness. And so Jesus is praying. He prayed it then. I believe that he prays it every day for us, that God would keep us safe from the evil one. So it is in Jesus' prayer that we find protection, but we also find protection through obedience. So as we are obedient to God, God gives protection to us. Here is a passage in Genesis, and this is the story of Joseph. And you're going to find this one a little strange, because as I tell you the story, you're going to say, well, God really didn't protect him. But he did. So Joseph had a lot of struggle in his early years. And it says he was taken into the house of Potiphar, and he was made the chief servant in this, and this is in Egypt. And as he's in this house, he's given authority over all the things in the house except for the wife of Potiphar. But the wife of Potiphar wanted Joseph. She wanted to go to bed with him. And so this is what Joseph says to Potiphar's wife. No one has more authority than I do in this household. He has held nothing back from me except for you, because you are his wife. How could I do such a wicked thing? I would be a great sin against God. Joseph was a follower of God. Now, you remember this story, that because of this, Joseph was accused falsely, and then he was thrown into prison, and then he stayed in prison for quite a few years, and ultimately he came out and was the second man in Egypt to the Pharaoh. Now you say, well, how did his obedience protect him? Well, his obedience protected him by ultimately one day bringing him into the position where he could be second to the Pharaoh and give protection to Israel and the nation that would be born in Egypt. So we can say that God does work through our obedience, the same way he works through the obedience in terms of temptation. He will provide a way out of the temptation, but you have to look for the way out. You have to be obedient to follow God and say, this is a great sin if I follow the temptation. I don't want to follow that temptation. I want to go to the direction that would say, I want to obey God. And in the obedience, there is protection in the spiritual realm. But God also protects us through his angels. It is his angels, as we saw with Daniel. It was an angel that came and protected him while he was in the den of the lions. We also see that it's in Hebrews 1:14 when it says, therefore, angels are only servants. They are spirits sent to care for those who will inherit salvation. We are the ones who are inheriting salvation, the sons of Adam. We are the ones who inherit it, the human beings. And so he's sent to care for those who will be saved. So if you have received Christ as your Savior, you have been given a protection from the angels. They are there to care for us. And to show you that, I want to show you another story in the Old Testament. And this is a story about a man by the name of Elisha. Now, Elisha was a prophet of God, just like Elijah was. We talked about last week. And Elisha, in this particular story in 2 Kings 6, was sent to a particular city. And there was an evil king that was trying to capture Elisha because he was causing lots of problems for this evil king. And so this evil king sent an army to surround the city that Elisha was in. And Elisha had a young man with him who was kind of his aide, the person he was mentoring. And that mentor, that young man, came to Elisha and says, "Have you seen the army outside? What are we going to do?" And this is what Elisha says, "Don't be afraid," he told him, "for there are more on our side than on theirs." And then Elisha prayed, "O Lord, open his eyes and let him see." Notice what God does. He opened the young man's eyes, and when he looked, he saw the hillsides around Elisha were filled with the horses and chariots of fire. Angels. Angels in horses and chariots and an army of the heavenly hosts there to protect Elisha. The interesting thing about this story is it goes on, and it says Elisha prayed that that army of angels would cause the army of humans to go blind, and they did. They caused them to go blind. Elisha walked right out through them, took a hold of their number one, their general, and took him back to Samaria to his king, and single-handedly defeated an army that was seeking to harm him. God protected him through his angels and brought victory to Elisha and his king. So as we think about these things, we understand that God is our protector. God is our ultimate protector. He is our protector from physical issues. He's our protector from spiritual things by Jesus' prayer, by our obedience, and by the angels that he sent to care for us. But at the same time, we also need to have common sense in all these things. Now, we know that if God wants you to get sick from the coronavirus, okay, you're going to get sick. Now, if he wants you to get sick, there's probably a reason for it. In the same way that Daniel, who went into the lion's den, God could have prevented him from going into the lion's den, but he didn't. And so he put him in the lion's den because after he came out of the lion's den, the king of that area said, "There is no other God bigger than Daniel's God," because he had protected him from the lions. Sometimes when God lets us go through things, he does it because he will receive the glory when we come through it. Sometimes we have to go through it because we need to learn some things. I think that's what Joseph had to do when he was going through the things that he was going through in Egypt. But it created him a character that was second to none in his trust of God Almighty. So no matter what God does for us, whether he keeps us shut down or allows us to meet on the 17th, or if I were to get sick and have some significant problems, we would have to believe that God had allowed that, and so there's a reason for that to be happening. But it is never wrong to say, even in those situations, God is still my protector. There is something God is teaching us, working through for his glory in the process. In fact, there may be someone who's watching this who needs to know that Jesus is their protector. You don't need to fear. It says in Isaiah 41:10, "Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not anxiously look about you, because I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. I will take care of you," he says. "Even if you're sick, even if you're dying, I will be your protection." He is always with us, and he is our protection. Would you pray with me as we end this message on my protection? Father God, thank you for your work in our lives. You are our protector. You are the one who cares for us. You are above all things, and you are the one who's sovereign over all things. Lord Jesus, thank you for praying for us for protection over the evil one. And I ask, Father, that you would continue to protect the people of this church from that. Father, I pray that you would enable us to be obedient to you in the walk of our lives, so that we would choose to walk in the way that's the escape out of temptation rather than walking into temptation. Father, I pray that you would continue to protect us by your angels. And you would also protect us through just common sense in our lives, through good hygiene and through our bodies that you have made to build immunity to things. So, Father, give us wisdom as we walk in these paths in our world. And, Father, above all those things, pray that you would give us love for our brother, not to exercise our freedoms, but to say, I will give up my freedom to protect you if that's necessary. So, Father, I just ask that you would give us wisdom as we come together next week to meet, that you would give us love for our brothers, and you would allow us to worship you to the highest heavens next week as we come together. Lord, thank you for your protection. We ask that you would guide us through this next week. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless. Thanks for being here.